tell you love to hate.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, a motherfucker.
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
And today you could be a winner, okay?
Why? Oh, today Powerball.
Yes.
Yes, 700 million. You have a great chance of winning.
Why are you wearing that stupid mask?
I mean, I always wear my ski mask from time to time.
Always from time to time.
Always from time to time.
You're acting like you've never seen this before. I got a couple of these.
Usually there's a reason you wear a mask. Why do you have one on today, sir?
I don't have any reason today. I just felt like throwing on the ski mask. I was driving into work this morning, and I was listening to Oprah's Super Soul Conversations. I was listening to the one with Arianna Huffington, and then I listened to Deepak Chopra, and then the energy was just feeling really good, and I was like, you know what? I want to throw my ski mask on today.
I figured Oprah,
I feel good.
Well, don't go play the Powerball with that on.
Yeah, don't go in 7-Eleven.
True story.
Or bodega with that on.
True story. I was filming this MTV show called Buckwild about 4 or 5 years ago. Rest in peace to my man Shane Gandy. We was in West Virginia, and it was freezing cold.
Right.
So I had on a ski mask. Like, it was freezing cold. I had a ski mask on, full fatigues, and we was about to jump into the drugstore, and Shane stops me and goes, no, Charlamagne, you can't go in there. You're N-word in West Virginia. They'll shoot you dead. And he didn't say N-word.
That was the best advice.
Exactly. So I had no, he gave it to me straight, and he let me know exactly how they was going to perceive me if I walked in that store.
Well, this is the second largest lottery.
Wow, 700 million.
In the U.S. Yes. You have 1 in 292 million chance of winning.
Okay. 1 in what?
292 million.
I mean, if it's meant to you, you will receive it. That's why I'm never one of those guys that goes in there and spends $100, and I'm gonna spend the same old $10 that I've been spending. Gonna pick my 5 numbers and keep it moving. Cause I always play Powerball. I play Powerball when it's 25 million. I play Mega Million when it's 25 million.
Well, you gotta play to win, right?
There you go.
All right. And yesterday I was supposed to go get my license.
Did you go get your license?
I went, but there was some type of issue, which, by the way, wasn't my fault. Apparently, there's something on my license from 2 years ago, but they didn't have the receipt that I paid the ticket, so I had to call, and then I had to get a receipt printed out.
Did you get the
receipt? Yeah.
So you got to go back.
I had to send it in, and now I have to go back.
Jersey or New York?
In New York. Well, the ticket was from New York, but that shouldn't be my fault. I paid it.
So you're going to get a Jersey license or a New York license?
New York.
Are you still riding dirty, though, is the question.
Well,
are
I'm
you
tell
legal
you what
not?
They
She's
told
definitely
me in the DMV. They told me, don't worry about it. You got 2 years renew your license. That's what they told me.
That's not true.
Hey, they're the experts.
I think you need to stop announcing that your license is suspended on
it's
the nationally
suspended.
Syndicated
It's expired.
It's just expired.
What that mean?
That means you can't drive with a license.
It means it expired in January, and I just forgot. But they told me it's not a big deal in the DMV. They're like, oh, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, how do the police feel about this?
They go,
can an officer call us up and tell us what happens when you got an expired license, please?
And you're driving around.
Yes, I'd like to know.
Throw your
I'm
black ass on the back of a car.
It.
All right, well, let's get the show cracking. The selfie king, Reverend Al Sharpton, will be joining us this morning.
Al Sharpton in the mirror taking selfies.
That's a shame that he's done so much and he's now known as the selfie king.
He's not known as the selfie king.
That's how you promote
joking.
Him, the selfie king.
Reverend Al Selfie, my guy. That's my guy.
Reverend Al Selfie.
That's my guy.
So we'll kick it with Reverend Al. And we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump. He was in Phoenix, Arizona last night, and he had a lot of things to say.
All right, and also Boston, they're very happy. I'll tell you why when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in sports, it seems like the Cavaliers have traded Kyrie Irving to the Boston Celtics. Now, this is for Isaiah Thomas, Crowder, and Zizek.
Hey, unpopular opinion, and a first-round pick.
And a first-round pick that actually came from Brooklyn.
Yeah, so that's going to be a great pick, but I don't know if Kyrie Irving is a franchise player. He's a really great player, but I don't know if he's the kind of player you build a franchise around.
He's a franchise player.
I don't know, bro.
I think he's a franchise player.
I don't see it. I mean, I think he's a great player, and I don't even know if this makes Boston better. They gave up a lot. First-round pick from the Nets, Crowder, Isaiah Thomas. Great deal for Cleveland, but for Boston.
No, it's a great deal for Cleveland. I don't know how this works out for Boston.
It's kind of undetermined.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got to see it, because whenever LeBron wasn't playing, it's not like Kyrie carried the Cavaliers franchise. Kyrie, know you went to the playoffs before LeBron came back.
Right, but I would say if Kyrie wasn't there, Bron wouldn't have won that chip, and also Bron wouldn't have got as far as he did, though.
I agree, but that's what I say. Kyrie's a great complimentary player when he's on the team with somebody of LeBron's caliber. But, I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. He could rise to the occasion next year.
All right. And he wants to.
Right. Well, let's talk about Donald Trump.
All right, Donald Trump. He was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he had a lot of things to say about media. He said, basically, the media is responsible for all of the division that we are facing in the United States. Here's what he had to say.
Is his nickname media?
It's time to expose the crooked media deceptions and to challenge the media for their role in fomenting divisions. The only people giving a platform to these hate groups is the media itself and the fake news. If you want to discover the source of the division in our country, look no further than the fake news and the crooked media. And by the way, they are trying to take away our history and our heritage. You see that.
So nothing to do with the racists. It has to do with the media.
If Donald Trump replaced media with his name in that same speech, it would be very fitting.
Now, he also talked about his responses to the Charlottesville violence and things that he said previously. Here's what he said.
What happened in Charlottesville strikes at the core of America. And tonight, this entire arena stands united in forceful condemnation of the thugs who perpetrate hatred and violence. It says, I love all of the people of our country. I didn't say I love you because you're black, or I love you because you're white, or I love you because you're from Japan.
He's so eloquent.
Why is he still having rallies, though? The campaign is over. He's the president. Like, why is he still having rallies like he's still on the campaign trip?
Because he wants the fake media to pick it up and paint him in a positive light. And then he goes on to talk about this border wall. He has not let that go, in case you guys thought. He's threatening to shut down the government.
Build that wall. Now, the obstructionist Democrats would like us not to do it, but believe me, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall.
I think he has these rallies because he wants to, it's like he's got like an ego that he has to reinforce. Like, he needs like constant reinforcement that people like him. Because that's the only way you would make all these people gather all the time just to cheer for you.
The black guy in the background holding
the
sign
that said
Blacks for Trump.
Blacks for Trump.
I was like, all right, now, speak for yourself.
His last name might be Blacks.
Yeah, it's just him.
Seriously.
Just one him. Black for Trump.
One black for Trump.
It could be a family of blacks. Like, that could be his last name, the Blacks. So he could be just representing for his family.
Oh, my goodness.
Did anybody ask him?
No, nobody asked him. And lastly, Powerball hit $700 million.
Right, so we told y'all, you got to play. You have a 1 in 292 million chance in winning.
That's right. So all you people out there, and one in six people who have herpes out there, go and play so you can have a more positive one in your life.
My goodness. Get it off your chest is next. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Or maybe you feel blessed. Maybe you want to spread some positivity. Whatever it may be, phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
What's up? This is Tay.
Hey, Chase, get it off your chest.
I get it off my chest. Honestly, I'm happy that me and my friends got our podcast started here in Memphis, Tennessee, called Juice 901.
Okay.
So I'm feeling good about that.
Okay, nice little plug.
Yeah. Yes, sometimes you got to shoot your shot, man.
Nothing wrong with that, bro.
Congratulations on that, Charlamagne.
On what?
Your book.
Oh, thank
Back
you.
Favorite, yes, man.
I was just about to tell you, opportunity comes to those who create it. So congrats on your podcast, sir.
Man, appreciate it. I'm going by those principles now. I'm putting the weed in the bag first. I work at a radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee. Called Sports 56. So
there you go.
I'm not getting paid for it, but you know, out here grinding. So like, you know what I'm trying to get.
For any of our new listeners, when he says he's putting the weed in the bag, he's not doing anything illegal. That's actually one of my principles. In my book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It. It's about just respecting the process.
There you go.
Well, that's a relief.
Yes.
Hello, who's this?
What's going on? This is Ruben. Yo, Envy, what's good?
What's up, Ruben?
I just want to give y'all a shout out. Word up. Now, I'm just out here, man. I'm so upset, man. I'm driving for like an hour and a half. I'm in Jacksonville. Of course, it's dead out here, but I ain't getting out one job. I'm about to really stick somebody up and bring the Bronx out for real,
no,
man.
No, you are
don't do
not.
That, man. Don't do that.
That would be stupid.
And then you go to jail.
And why are you job hunting at 4 o'clock in the morning? You say you've been going for an hour and a half, so that's like 4:30. Ain't no, what jobs can you go look for at 4:30 in the morning?
I mean, people going to the airport. I mean, I usually get out of work, but
oh,
there's
Uber.
Yeah, for some
Lyft
reason out here, I'm an Uber right now. Yeah,
it's just slow. It's just slow in the middle of the night.
Exactly, but man, I don't know what to do. So,
I'm going to tell you what you should do. Get a good night's sleep and wake up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning when people is traveling.
Nah, go to the strip club. The strippers got to get home. Go to the airport. People start landing now. That's where you got to go. You got to make small decisions, bro.
Man, you guys are so intelligent. I appreciate it. Y'all be
what do you mean so intelligent? That's common sense. Jesus
Christ.
Hey,
let Envy be intelligent.
Look, he's so intelligent.
Let all of us be intelligent.
That's right.
Man.
Common sense. Hey, what do you do when you're a driver? Go to places where people need rides?
Can he give us a compliment?
Hello, Jesus. Who's this?
Hello?
Yo.
Yeah, is this Breakfast Club?
Yeah, who's
maybe.
This?
Can I get a bacon, egg, and cheese, please, with orange juice?
Hey,
is it turkey bacon or pork bacon?
It's porta potty guy.
It's porta potty guy. Porta potty guy boo. Only eat turkey bacon. Gentlemen, stop booing me, bro.
Boo,
what's
Sean, boo.
Hey, me and Envy got a lot of things in common, man. He's a Virgo. I'm a Virgo. His name is Rashawn. My name is Sean.
Shoot your shot.
It's amazing.
Shoot your shot, porta potty guy. Shoot
nah,
your shot.
No, I'm not shooting my shot. Angela Yee. I'm not a transvestite. Porta potty guy, love the ladies, okay?
What does that mean?
That doesn't make no sense.
That doesn't make no sense.
Like, I didn't make
I'm
no
just saying,
sense whatsoever.
You just said I should shoot my shot, but I'm in a gear. Me and a body boy, you know what I mean?
Okay, now you went left.
Yeah. I'm a good day, guys.
He just
call
up
and throw shots at the LGBT community and then say, have a nice day.
This guy's crazy.
Like, that's the kind of positivity you think you're spreading this morning? You're just going to throw all of that negative energy to the LGBT community and then say, have a blessed day?
This guy.
Jesus Christ. Salute to all the LGBT listeners out there. Good morning.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Orlando from Hampton, Virginia.
Hey, 757-804. What's up, bro?
I want to say I'm feeling blessed this morning. I want to wish my wife, Yolanda, a happy wedding anniversary. 17 years, and we're going strong.
There you go.
Congratulations, my brother. You've been hitting it raw for 17 years? That's a long time, sir.
I got two kids, too.
There you go.
And what's the secret? What's the secret to happiness?
The secret of happiness is, you know, you're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs. But, you know, at the end of the day, don't let nobody steal your joy. And you're just going to do what you got to do.
Nah, that's real.
The real secret is your wife's always right.
Oh, you know that.
I've been with my wife 19 years, so I've been raw enough for about 17, too. So we about even.
All right, then.
All right, bro.
How long you raw on your wife, Envy?
I would say about 21.
Envy's damn, you got all of us beat.
He never used a condom.
We're about 21.
You got 22. All of us beat.
Hello, who's this?
Bill from St. Louis.
Hey, Bill.
Hello,
get it
Bill.
Off your chest.
How are you, Bill?
I'm good. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you guys I'm blessed. You know, I was raised in a very racist family, and I am now married to a beautiful black queen and have four beautiful black children that I love more than anything in this world.
So basically racism was keeping you away from that good black poom-poom.
How did your family feel about your wife and kids?
Well, some of my family disowned me, but I don't care. You know, I'm happy, we're happy, and that's all that matters in life.
That's all that matters, sir. You have a beautiful black queen, and in the words of Tiffany Haddish, that poom-poom is giving you a healing. So
yes,
you are blessed forever, sir. You
and
go
it's
hug your queen.
It's your family's loss, by the way.
You ain't lying. It's their loss.
You are blessed.
For Charlamagne, I definitely, F them black crackers. I them crackers. You know what I mean?
condemn white crackers, denounce white devils, my Caucasian
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
All right, man. Get it off your chest.
That's what I'm talking about.
585-1051. You, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about somebody who's in trouble now for fat shaming, and it's not Charlamagne. So we'll tell you what this person said that everybody's mad about.
All right, we'll get to that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Bill Maher is in trouble, and he's in trouble with the Obesity Action Coalition.
There's
Obesity Action Coalition, nearly 60,000 members.
Oh, boy.
And these are from some jokes that he made for his closing segment on Real Time. Check it out.
And then there's something I like to call the bipartisan pro-fat movement. Despite the fact that obesity accounts for 18% of the deaths in America and a huge chunk of our health care bill and is the main reason people wear sweatpants in public. I'm sorry, but pretending everyone is beautiful at any size is not helping them, it's enabling them. But among the shaming police, the most important message you can ever send an obese person is that your body is perfect just the way it is, prone on a gurney.
Other than him defying beauty by weight, what did Bill Maher say wrong?
Well, the problem is this. There's people that suffer from depression. And according to the Obesity Action Coalition, they said that this fat shaming on that type of scale can lead to depression, anxiety, poor body image for people who are overweight. And they say that shaming could exacerbate medical problems and even lead to suicide. Mm. Plus, you have kids that are being bullied in school. So imagine your kid is overweight, goes to school, and the kid, you're fat, you're disgusting.
Listen, man.
That's not cool.
Bill is saying the same thing a doctor would say, saying the same thing a personal trainer would say. We have to stop this. Being obese is not healthy, period. And guess what? I read an article the other day that said healthy obesity is a myth. Nobody wants to be fat. Some people just have the motivation to get in shape and some don't. And guess what? For every excuse someone makes not to get in shape, it's somebody else out there being an example that it can be done.
If it was that easy, everyone would be in shape.
And
there's
people that said it was easy.
There's people that suffer from depression and turn to food.
Nobody ever said it was easy. You're either going to do it or you don't.
Issues. We talk about all kinds of things. There's people that's on medication.
Oh, my God. Y'all attack the so-called fat shamers more than y'all attack your own fat.
You don't know
fat.
If somebody's taking steroids because they have multiple sclerosis and that. You don't know what somebody's journey is. You don't know if when you see them, they used to be bigger and they've lost weight and they're on it. You don't know.
Listen, for every excuse that you make, it's somebody out there being an example that it can be done. Period.
The point is,
I think
if you see
a lot of
stranger,
people that's having problems, but I think it's a small percentage. I think there are people that are having problems, whether it's diabetes, whether it's whatever it may be. But I think
there's people out there that are losing this weight.
Right.
It is a fact that depression can be linked to obesity. That's a fact. So if we want to talk about mental wellness, making fun of somebody for their body doesn't help anybody's mental stability.
Like I said, other than him defying beauty by weight, he should have said healthy instead of beauty. He didn't say anything wrong.
And actually, there was a girl that came into the juice bar the other day. Her name was Shauna. She told me she started coming because she sees I have a green juice every morning. And she's very thin, but she has high blood pressure. So she has her own issues with her body as well. So you can't look at somebody and say, okay, you're fat, you're going to die.
America has an obesity problem. Everybody knows that. Right. Doctors know that. Personal trainers know that. I don't know why we acting like we don't.
But I don't know
that
fat shaming is the solution.
I don't think it's fat shaming. It's not. Just telling somebody they should lose weight is not fat shaming.
Well, telling them that you're the reason that you have to wear sweatpants and all making kinds of jokes like that, you can understand why.
You gotta wear sweatpants. Who said that?
That's what he said in one of the jokes.
Oh, boy.
All right. Mark Wahlberg is now Hollywood's highest paid actor. He has actually beat out The Rock. He made $68 million, according to Forbes. So congratulations to him.
Wow.
For being number one on that list.
Drop on the clues bombs for Mark Wahlberg, Devin.
Wow.
Boston zone.
Mm-hmm.
And for you guys that are excited to watch the fight on Saturday, Mayweather versus McGregor, Paulie Malignaggi is going to be one of the people actually calling the fight. He'll be a commentator, which, by the way, some people feel like this should not be allowed because he does not like Conor McGregor at all. Check out some of what he's had to say about McGregor.
You can't even put together a 20-second straight concurrently running clip of you dominating the action. And you're going to try to say you dominated 12 rounds. I think it's a little funny. I think it's a little tacky. But like I said, I also think it's a little bit cute because he's trying so hard. He's like the little engine that could.
No, he thinks none of this matters. The fact that he doesn't know how to throw a punch. The fact that he doesn't own a shadow box. The fact that he looks ridiculous hitting a punching bag. He thinks he's just going to land the punch and it's going to be over. Like, that's the guy that, like, the guy in Starbucks should think. You know, that's not that's something that a professional fighter should think. I think a professional fighter is supposed to know a little bit better than that.
Well, Paulie Malignaggi was Conor's training camp sparring partner, and then they had a bad breakup last month. So a lot of people feel like because commentators influence how everyone sees the fight, this might not be good.
I'm not ordering that fight. I'm saving my money for Triple G and Canelo Alvarez in September. You know that fight still hasn't sold out. It's still like 7,000 seats left.
Floyd?
For the Floyd Mayweather-McGregor fight.
By the way, that fight is ridiculously expensive.
I mean, if you're a real boxing fan, you know that's about to be a trash-ass fight. Mayweather is going to dominate Conor McGregor in every way, shape, or form. Period.
All right, and Demi Lovato, by the way, has signed on to sing the national anthem at that fight as well. So,
I thought Migos were singing it.
I'd rather see Demi Lovato sing Bodak Yellow at the national anthem. Oh. I mean, at the fight.
Well, she'll be at the, I think, what is she, at the MTV Movie Awards?
I don't know,
and
but
she'll
I know.
Be performing at the pre-show, Cardi B.
She was performing, Cardi B's performing at the pre-show. I'm hosting the pre-show for the VMAs this week.
So
me, Terrence J, Little Yachty, and I forgot the other person.
All right, they'll be happy. All right.
I'm
Angela Yee, that's your rumor report.
All right, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, the Rev will be in the building, Reverend Al Sharpton, so don't move.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. We have the most in-shape Reverend that I know. Reverend Al Sharpton's here.
What's up, Rev?
What's happening? What's happening? Rev?
Everything good.
Everything
you know, the first thing they wanted to ask you is about Jay-Z's line, Al Sharpton in the mirror taking selfies.
Al Sharpton in the mirror taking selfies. How is him or Bill Cosby supposed to help me?
He shouldn't be jealous. I mean, you know. I mean, for me, at 62 years old, to show I could work out in shape, you know, I mean, come on. Jay-Z, what, almost 50? Mm-hmm. He better get with it. I mean, I ain't mad at him. Jay-Z's had me in a few songs. Every time he does, that's cool. I'll slip him in a sermon or two, and we keep it even.
How does it feel, though, that you've been out here putting in the work for all of these years, and people still feel like the Rev ain't helping enough, asking how can you help?
Well, I think that the fact that they're asking means that they know I put in work, because mm-hmm. they're not asking people that they haven't. You know, it's one thing that I was told when I was very young is that if you're going to get into activism and leadership, it's like football. You get on the field, half the crowd's going to cheer, the other half going to jeer. Your job is to get the ball across the goal line. Don't get too hyped up with the cheers and don't get depressed with the jeers. I mean, you take somebody like you and all the enlightening you've been trying to do, Charlamagne Tha God, books selling all over the world, and they try to take one show and try to make you controversial. I mean, it's people that try to build their thing off of taking shots at people that's up. That's the only way up. And if you got to try to pull somebody down to get you up, it doesn't even make a lot of sense to respond.
Well, we acknowledge that it makes sense for people to get more PR for somebody that has more light than they do. And sometimes they try to tear that person down because that gives them more attention by attacking somebody. One thing that we've been talking about a lot lately are those memorials. And I know this has been on everybody's mind, these memorials. You know, obviously, you were discussing earlier about the Abraham Lincoln one and trying to get that
and
down.
And the Thomas Jefferson.
And the Thomas Jefferson one. And they were talking about the Columbus one.
My position was the Daily News in New York had done a real research about 6-7 years ago. And found out that the family of Strom Thurmond, the segregationist senator in
South Carolina.
Yeah. His family owned my great-grandfather.
Wow.
They actually did the lineage check.
Wow.
And my great-grandfather, I never knew it till they came out with it, was named Coleman Sharpton, who was a slave at the plantation of Alexander Sharpton, who married Anna Thurmond, who was the aunt of Strom Thurmond. So I said, so this personal to me. So I've got a problem mm-hmm. of any tax dollars I'm spending paying for a memorial for any slaveholder, any slave owner. You got to remember, these people get public funds. The people that clean the monuments, the people that open, the people that run the parks day in, we're paying for that. Mm-hmm. So you got a right to celebrate who you want. You don't have a right to tell me to pay for it.
Right.
When they enslaved and raped and maimed my people, I got a right to stand up to that. There's an article in one of the sites today, I think it's the Daily Beast, on what Confederate Americans can learn from Germany. They don't allow Germany Nazi statues. So, we're supposed to not be offended that you're raising up these people? All right, fine. Thomas Jefferson was the president of the country, one of the fathers of the country. George Washington was. Both were slaveholders. That was what was going on then. But Robert E. Lee wouldn't even be mentioned if he was not the general of a Confederate army fighting to enslave us and leading a seditious rebellion against the United States government. How do you justify using public money for that? Stonewall Jackson, the same thing. Their only relationship was they were fighting to uphold slavery and to overthrow the government. So you can't even put them in the same category as Washington.
You can't
same thing
that
with Strom Thurmond. Strom Thurmond got a highway in South Carolina.
Strom
buildings
Thurmond.
Named after him. For what?
And fought for segregation. And what I'm saying is, let's be real. These people fought against us, dehumanized us, enslaved us. And you want us to pay for it and apologize that we're going to raise it? Then you get a president that says that this is our culture. This is what Donald Trump said.
Mm-hmm.
This is our culture, our history. Well, then we should challenge him on that history. Mm. Yeah, this is our history. The history that said we had no rights anyone was bound to respect. The history that said that my mother could not be named after her father. It was against the law for us to even name our children. You want to talk about that history, President Trump? I welcome that conversation.
Mm. Were you shocked with Charlottesville and seeing that at this day and age?
So many
supporters?
Well, I wasn't shocked. I was surprised that they were so vicious.
Mm.
They would kill a young white woman and not even care. And then what was shocking, though, to me, was the President of the United States would stand up there and say there were fine people on both sides. What is fine about a neo-Nazi?
Mm-hmm.
They call themselves that. They marched with torches the night before saying Jews will not replace us. Fine people do that? That is the only thing that was shocking, is that on a presidential level that he would do that. That's why on Monday we're going to Washington, 1,000 ministers that we've called together, Jews, Muslims, Christians.
All different denominations.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. And we're going to walk from King Memorial to the Justice Department, because he has Martin Luther King's bust in the White House Oval Office that Obama had put there. We're saying you kept the bust, but you put the dream out. Don't distort the dream of King. King made the I Have a Dream speech that day 54 years ago Monday. So we're telling everybody come out and join and walk with the ministers. Never happened before, DJ Envy. Mm-hmm. 1,000 ministers of all religions coming together.
All right, we got more with Al Sharpton. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Reverend Al Sharpton in the building. Charlamagne?
What role does the church play in all of this?
I think the church needs to step up. The church does not dominate in the general market of our community like it used to, but it's still the largest gathering place on a weekly basis of our people. There's nowhere in the country that has an institution that gathers as many people as the church, the mosque, and the synagogue.
Social media.
But what are we doing? Well, social media does, but that's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? Why aren't we at the forefront? When you see these evangelical conservatives laying hands on Trump, supporting Trump, there needs to be a response to that. That response will be Monday. Don't forget, Dr. King and Malcolm were both ministers. They led moral, spiritual movements.
Mm.
The largest gatherings of blacks in the history of this country is called by Minister Farrakhan. It was a spiritual movement, Day of Atonement. We cannot let them take away and reinterpret what morality is. That's why we must grab the moral high ground on Monday.
Will the minister be joining in this morning?
We so hope. Everybody comes. You know, he and I talk all the time. And, anytime I call him for his birthday. He and I don't have to agree on everything. We have different tactics, come out of different traditions. I come out of the King tradition. But I know he believes in what he believes, and I believe in what I believe. So as long as somebody's not a phony, I can relate and talk to them.
And at the end of the day, is this about the betterment of our people anyway?
It's about the betterment of our people. It's not about us agreeing. It's not about he may disagree with something that I say or do, or I disagree with him, and we talk about that. It's about an honest relationship toward trying to get us to a goal. And people that are immature and petty, getting the name calling and all of that, I think that when you mature, you stand up and you're willing to put your life on the line. Every morning I get up, I use it as another day to try to do what it is that my life's been geared to. I look every morning at a surgical scar.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get an operation when a white male tried to kill me leading a march in Bensonhurst. I look at the door to my bedroom and there's no bars on it. I spent 90 days in jail one time. I've been in jail about 30 times on civil rights stuff. And when I say, well, I'm not waking up in jail like I did in Vieques for protesting, and the scar didn't kill me, it's a good day. Mm-hmm. Nothing else bothers me.
He tried to stab you?
got, not tried, he did that. Yeah. I was leading the march about Yusuf Hawkins getting killed, and with 200 cops standing there, a white guy ran through the crowd, stuck a knife right in my chest. And I promised God if I made it through that, because I didn't know if I was going to live or die. You laying on a gurney, you don't know what's happening. That scar will always be there. And I don't want to remove because it reminds me of what hate really is all about. So when somebody takes a shot at me and I've been stabbed, I've been to jail for this, I don't have to defend myself. I put my record up in my own mind and just keep on fighting.
Now, you said something earlier. You said Donald Trump was a lightweight. Why do you think he was a lightweight? Because, I mean, just for me, it's the first time I've seen that overt bigotry and racism in the White House president.
I think the reason I'm saying that he has the power of the president. He has an awesome amount of power. But what he does not have is all of the laws and all of the abilities to stop things the way they did when Thurman and all these other guys were there.
Gotcha.
He's light compared to them. He's not to be underestimated. I've known Trump a long time. I marched on Trump when he took those ads out on Central Park 5. One of them at Nash Action Network with us worked for us. When he got out of jail, did 13 years in jail, and we were one of the few groups that would stand with him.
I saw
we
he recently did an in. Article about Donald Trump.
Yeah,
saying
Corey
how Donald
West.
Trump, yep, talked about how you have to know all the facts before you can condemn somebody. And he, in that Central Park case, actually was taking out ads saying that they should go to jail without even knowing all
no,
the facts.
No, he said
of the case
they should face the death penalty.
Yeah.
We can get a case wrong, but to call for somebody's death and get it wrong. But which was worse, Angie, is that after the DNA proved that they didn't do it, 13 years later now, somebody in jail told one of his inmate buddies that he did it. They checked the DNA, and he did do it. After that came out, and the city of New York had to settle with them, Trump said you shouldn't give him a dime after the DNA made it clear.
Damn.
But he wouldn't back up then. I mean, there's no question then. But if you question climate change, I guess you'll question DNA. That's who y'all got sitting in the White House.
You think Trump has always been a racist, or is he just doing that because he got that white supremacy fan base now?
I think that he plays to white racism, plays to supremacy. I stay away from calling him names because, you know what, they tried to bait me on a show. Call him a racist. And I said, I'm not getting the name calling because I know what he'll do. He'll come and say, well, the New York Times even showed last week I dated black women, and he'll get two or three athletes and one or two rappers to come out and say, oh, no, he's not a racist. The issue is not whether he's a racist. The issue is he administering racism, and that's what he's doing. I'm more concerned with his policies and the system. That's why I'm marching Monday. I'm not concerned about his personal feelings.
Now, how do we get together, and we've been talking impeachment since he's been in office, and it seems like he still does what he wants to do, says what he wants to say, doesn't follow the necessary protocol. How do we get him out of office?
I think you've got to, the letters of impeachment are the Congress people, and nobody's better than Maxine Waters and Cedric Richmond on that. We've got to prepare in these elections to vote them out. All that's going up, that's why this march is important, to put a signal on them, which you better and better not do. FCC that regulates this television station and Revolt, all of that is political. When they were merging, Comcast and NBC Universal, Nash Action Network, the Urban League, and NAACP went in and said, you have to give us four black stations for us to support this at FCC. That's where Revolt came from.
Right.
From
Maxine, our Waters was telling us.
That's how it's, yeah, we were the reason y'all got a Revolt, even though y'all Revolt on me. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I text Charlamagne the God at night and said, man, y'all ain't got to be so mean to me. But that's all right. That's me. But I think that is where you've got to have, again, political skill toward objective. What we cannot do is keep freelancing without people's freedom. We got to know where we're going and have a strategic plan.
All right, we got more with Reverend Al when we come back. Don't move. Here's Bruno Mars. That's what I like. Breakfast Club, good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Reverend Al Sharpton's in the building. Charlamagne?
Do you think black people dropped the ball when Obama was in the White House?
I think we got too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think we thought that we'd achieve something. I think that we had achieved some, but I think that we did not see it as an opportunity to make change, but an opportunity to celebrate.
Right.
And I think that they got so comfortable that people felt that Hillary's just going to walk in. I knew people that had, was getting ready, getting their makeup folks ready for the inaugural ball before the election was over, and they didn't get in the trenches and do the work. And one of the things, I probably was one of the closest civil rights leaders to Obama. And President Obama, I kept saying, we got to do the work, we got to do the work. And he kept saying, y'all have got to stay out there on these issues. And we did. But a lot of our colleagues were so busy celebrating or trying to get gigs or grants, including some of the young activists. A lot of the folks, Angie knows, that were the loudest 5 or 6 years ago, we haven't heard about. You know, every couple of years, we get new leads. Up. This guy's, that's the newcomer. It's like a hit record. It lasts for about 6 months. Like the new TV show. Some of us are long-distance runners because we're looking at the goal line. And I keep telling folks, we ain't there, y'all, yet. And the race ain't over till you break the tag at the end of the goal line. And we have not got there.
Will we ever get there? Will that ever be true?
Oh, we got to get there. I think that if we have a consistent, determined strategy, we will ultimately get to where we can share enough power to enforce true equality. We'll never get in my lifetime where everybody will love one another. We just have to have equal protection under the law. I don't want people to love me. I want them to not be able to hurt me or my loved ones and not pay for it.
Absolutely.
You mentioned something earlier. You talked about how like you and the minister can have different views, but y'all have one common goal. Do you think Malcolm and Martin could have got a lot more accomplished together?
I think that both of them were killed before they were 40. It was hard to determine. But I think sometimes you could have different roles and not be together and kind of understand each other. Minister and I talk when we'll call, but we don't talk often like that. But I think he understands what I do, where I agree and disagree. I understand what he does. You've got to understand that people that are committed to something and respect that and watch what they do and they watch what you do and hope it ends up. Y'all don't ever have to sit down and lock arms and pose for selfies together. It's about knowing that that brother or that sister's committed to something that ultimately, I hope, leads us to the same place.
And that's I don't ever want to see you and Minister Farrakhan doing a selfie, Reverend. That's when it's gone too far.
Don't do that. I'll repost
no,
that one.
No, keep them to yourself.
I'll repost that one.
Listen, Reverend Al Sharpton, you feel like you're in the best shape of your life, though, now?
Reverend's doing push-ups on a desk. Reverend's in great shape.
Even better than when you were younger.
When I was in my 30s, I was 300 pounds. I work out every morning at 5 o'clock, and this morning, I weigh in before I go out. I was at 133 pounds.
Sheesh.
So I've lost almost more than I've ever...
133,
you left your
person. Yeah, 133.
Yeesh.
I am dangerous.
Now, the question is, what can people do? Just your regular person that works 9 to 5, if they want to be a part of something and say, how can regular people help?
I think regular people can help many ways. One, they can join an organization or start one. Mm-hmm. They need to be involved. Two, they need to vote. Three, they need to educate people. Go on social media, find the right articles, tell people what to read, tell people what to listen to. Read his book. Read other things. Educate yourself. Know what you're talking about. Just don't react and don't give up. We have got to be stronger than our enemy. We got to work harder, get up earlier, and be more conscious. And act like we are the sons and daughters of kings and queens rather than we was waiting on the election and we lost the election and going to a pity party. Don't nobody care that we lost. Nobody care we sad. Nobody care we mad. What they care about is if we organize and take power.
How important are white allies right now?
I think we got to have everybody.
Yeah.
I think we got to have everybody. I think that, and we always did. That's why I have rabbis marching with us. I have Catholic priests. I think we have to have everybody as long as we all understand the agenda is for everybody. What I jump on progressives about is that a lot of them are progressive on every issue but race. Mm-hmm. They want us progressive on their issues but not progressive on ours. My thing is I'm not looking for better slave masters. I'm looking for freedom. Don't tell me what to do and put some black props up there while y'all get your agenda over and we ain't part of the agenda. I'm not with that.
Well, Reverend Al, we appreciate you and we support you all the time. Even though we make fun of you sometimes, we always support you.
Y'all can make fun of me.
We don't make fun of the Rev. We just laugh at his selfies.
All right, August 28th. right, is going down. That's the march.
Yes. August 28th, 10 o'clock at the Martin Luther King Monument in Washington, D.C. And in tribute to the show.
Here he come. Here he come.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. There you go. Now make fun of that. Make fun of that.
I'm going to report that. I'm going to say in the mirror without Sharpton.
Y'all was supposed to take your shirts off, though.
Yeah, you're supposed to take your shirt. It's the Breakfast Club. It's River now.
Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Web Team Murder is back, as in Tracee Ellis Ross, and you can hear her rapping some Dave East. Check it out.
Team Murder is back on your account. Watch out. So wearing my jewelry. I'm on some board. I don't get it. Online shopper. She don't go out. She just ordered kicks. I just hope she suck a meat and put cheese on her grits. Is your name David? Dave East? Mr. East? Don't trust her if she's doing it for a caption. Listen, if you give her Hennessy shots until she throws up, you don't want to see what that mouth is about. But you could be my little secret. Don't nobody gotta know. Thinking about if I should eat. If I'm working, then I'm working. If I'm creeping, then I'm creeping. Don't nobody gotta know.
And that is My Dirty Little Secret off of Dave East's new album, Paranoia, A True Story.
I love Tracee Ellis Ross. Last time I saw Tracee Ellis Ross was at the BET Experience, and I was trying to teach her how to say F-boy.
Mm-hmm. She's going to get it?
I don't think she was feeling that one. She loves, before that, we taught her how to say pop that poom poom for a goon, but not poom poom. She liked that.
Yeah, she liked that one.
I don't think she caught on to the F-boy thing.
Not yet.
Well, maybe someday soon. All right, now Mystical has turned himself in, as we told you, and now they have footage of what he was saying as he was turning himself in. Check it out.
Turn myself in.
Why are you turning yourself in?
To get this business rectified, you know, get this behind me, man.
Okay.
Pray for me.
I ain't praying for you till I know if you're guilty or not.
All right, now, so there's a lot of controversy around what happened. We told you he is being accused of rape of a woman. Now, I see all kinds of things on Famulus. They posted three innocent people are in jail because this one girl trying to find a way to get some money. She was ditching her boyfriend to be all up on my brother, Lil Hood, all night. She offered them some sex, and since her boyfriend caught her, she's trying to flip the script to save her relationship. Now, there's another woman who is also wanted in questioning in connection with this, and here's what she had to say, and we played this for you yesterday about the whole situation with Mystical.
Ain't nobody did nothing to that girl. She even told me, and yes, I got it on record, that she said ain't nobody did nothing to her. She tried to protect her boyfriend because she ditched him all night to be with another nigga. So now all of a sudden, I got a charge because I called a friend to ask her, are you okay? Did you hear what's going on? She said, no. I said, well, they saying that it's a rape charge going on. Where'd you hear that from? Okay, so if you ain't hear nothing, then you need to go down there and clear these names because is getting locked up for this shit.
So if there really is a recording, then that could be used. Now, according to Famulus, they said a source at the Shreveport Police Department says that he may not be guilty because everybody involved was popping pills, getting high, and just engaging together. The girl's boyfriend ended up leaving her alone and didn't check on her for hours. Then all of a sudden, when he came back, she was screaming rape. So
that's why the whole pray for me thing is tricky. I got to look you in the eyes and talk to you and have a conversation and get all the facts of the case before I waste God's time with a prayer for you. I don't like wasting God's time.
Well, he's being held on a $2 million bond, so we will see what happens.
Oh, he's not out? That wasn't him talking?
That was him turning himself in.
He was turning himself in.
Oh, okay.
All right, now, T-Pain is going back on tour. He's doing an acoustic tour, by the way, so if you guys are excited for that. Now, he had performed before for NPR's Tiny Desk concert series, and he just had an acoustic guitar. People enjoy that a lot, so now he is going to be doing a six-city acoustic tour inspired by that concert that he did. And he said that was a huge accomplishment for him. He said it accumulated over 10 million views so far and opened up new opportunities for him and a new audience. So that's why he's going to be doing that. That actually starts October 4th in San Francisco.
Go get that money, T-Pain. Why not?
Hey, we're not mad at that.
Not at all.
All right, and Charles Barkley, once again, talking crazy. Now, he was talking on ESPN's Mike and Mike and talking about how we need to take more accountability for our relationship with the cops. Here's what he said.
We've got to work out our relationship with the cops. We don't want young black men killed by the cops. But also, we got to take some personal responsibility to all the black-on-black crime that's going on in our own community. The cops come in there when they make mistakes. we need to hold them accountable, but also we got to understand them. They come in there, they're nervous, they're hyper, they're going to make some mistakes. That doesn't excuse it, but we have to take some personal responsibility.
Wow.
We should have accountability. All of us should have accountability. Cops, us, we should have accountability with our relationship with each other. They're nervous, we're nervous. Like, you know, why are they so one-sided? Why is it just our
responsibility? The problem is that some of those quote-unquote mistakes end up being deadly.
And I hate when they bring the black-on-black crime thing into it. Like, we don't have to conflate the issues. One doesn't have to do with
the other. Do people do that? Why do people say, okay, well, we have to do this, but we got to do this, too?
We don't have to conflate the issues. One doesn't have to do with the other. Moral of the story is we want senseless killings to stop all across the board, whether right. It's cops killing unarmed black men, blacks killing each other, white nationalist devils killing white anti-hate protesters. Rest in peace, Heather Hare. Senseless killings of all types must stop.
And right. That might mean in the police department there's got to be better training. There's got to be some repercussions when you mess up, because some of those mistakes, like we said, are fatal.
Like
there's no coming back from that.
Like Reverend I said earlier, when they were holding police officers accountable and police officers were actually getting in trouble for their actions, then things came down a little
bit. Now, here's more of what Charles Barkley had to say about our relationship with the police.
And I've heard these other idiots out there, I've heard them say, well, white people kill white people and the Hispanic people kill Hispanic people because that's their neighborhood. I said, yeah, that's true, but they're not killing each other at the level we are in the black community.
Mm. Is that true? I don't know that that's true.
I would have to look at the numbers, but I think...
Because from my understanding, wherever you live, those people kill each other. So
yeah, but I think it's based off population. I think we make up, 13% of the population?
Yes.
So if we make up 13% of the population, we should not lead the nation in murders of each other.
I always thought there was more white-on-white crime than black-on-black crime.
Yeah, but but we're only 13% of the population.
So you're saying percentage-wise?
Yeah, percentage-wise.
Okay,
yeah.
And he also discusses Colin Kaepernick and the whole kneeling situation. Here's what he said about that.
If you want to stand or kneel, that's up to the individual. But I think the media, which I'm part of, I think they've hijacked the story, and we spend all our time talking about who's standing, who's not standing. All the black guys doing it, and most of them are not. Oh, we need a white guy. Okay, now we got some white guys. And we spend all our time wasting energy and effort, and we haven't solved one single... We don't even talk about the issues anymore.
That's true. Now, that is true, because I always say... People are always so mad about Colin Kaepernick and who's kneeling, but we're not discussing why he's kneeling in the first place.
I do think
that is true.
It did inspire a lot of conversation, though.
It still does.
Just like Al Sharpton said earlier,
absolutely.
When you talk about rallies and why do people march, it's not because that marching does something, but it brings attention to the issue. So
it does.
It depends on who you're talking about. But it's
not in this case. It's they talk more about the kneeling than they do actually what Colin is kneeling about.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right.
Charlamagne, say the gang, donkey of the day.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, it's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, August 23rd, goes to the UFC's John Bones Jones. Why is John Bones Jones getting Donkey of the Day? Because in the octagon, John Bones Jones, when focused, seems like an unstoppable force. But like most unstoppable forces, the greatest opponent John Bones Jones faces is himself. Let's look at the resume, good people. In 2012, John Jones drove his Bentley GT into a pole and was arrested for DUI. In 2015, he tested positive for cocaine. In July of 2016, he tested positive for two banned substances, which caused him eventually to be suspended from action for a year. And after a triumphant return to the octagon and beating light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier, John Jones has failed his second drug test in 2 years. Let's go to ESPN's Brett Okamoto for the report, please.
You know, this is the type of news that you hate to report. You know, John Jones is the greatest talent I think this sport has ever seen, and we haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of him over the last few years. He failed a drug test for cocaine, came back in 2015, and was stripped of his title after getting in that hit and run. You know, came back, was supposed to have his redemption story at UFC 200 last year against Daniel Cormier, was pulled from that fight because he tested positive for banned substances. And now here, this was his comeback story. This was John Jones returning to the sport, getting his life together. Everything was good. He still looked great against Daniel Cormier, still in the prime of his career. All systems go, and then we get this news that he has tested positive for a banned substance. TMZ reporting that it's an anabolic steroid. It might be a long, long time before we ever see John Jones fight again if these test results hold up.
Man,
Now, on July 21st, 2017, John Bones Jones tweeted out, Daniel says, the only reason I defeated him the first time is because I must have been on steroids. Wonder what his excuse will be this time. Well, Mr. Jones, I think he has one now. Now, a teammate of John Jones, Frank Lester, is claiming this is a setup and they're trying to ruin this kid's life. I don't know who the they is in this situation. I'm assuming the they that Frank is talking about is the same they that DJ Khaled be talking about. But here's the thing. What would they gain by setting up John Bones Jones? John Jones, healthy, sober, and not on dope, equates to more money for everyone. And let's be clear. I guarantee Dana White and whatever other powers that be, the theys, understand there are no permanent friends or enemies when it comes to business, okay? John Jones' last fight with Daniel Cormier had over 800,000 pay-per-view buys. Why would they sabotage potential super fights with John Jones and the dude named Stipe Miocic or whatever his name is, or John Jones and Brock Lesnar, you know? Why would they sabotage those potential super fights, okay? That's what they want. Why would they want to set John Jones up? What is it they have to do with this, okay? When he tested for banned substances before, did they have something to do with it? Was it a day when he tested positive for cocaine? Was it a day when he caught that DUI? Was it a day when he fled the scene of a hit and run and ended up getting a felony for injuring a person and purposely leaving the scene of the accident? And then law enforcement found a pipe with marijuana inside of his car? There was no they involved in any of those circumstances, okay? The one common denominator in all those circumstances is John Bone Jones, whatever his name is. I got this damn ski mask on. Hold on.
Take that stupid thing off.
He's messing up your mind.
Messing up my mouth. All right.
Whoa.
John Jones has to accept responsibility for his actions, okay? He has to be accountable for his results. He has to take ownership of his mistakes, all right? Nobody put John Bones Jones in those situations but him. That's the way life works, people. You can be your own best friend or your own worst enemy. You must choose wisely. And John Bones Jones clearly doesn't make good choices. It's that simple. Listen, kids, listen to your Uncle Sharla. Everything in your life is a reflection of a choice you made. If you want a different result, make a different choice. John Bones Jones made poor choices, and those poor choices led to situations like the one he is currently facing, which is a possible 4-year ban, and us sitting around wondering what his career could have been if he just made better decisions. Please give John Bones Jones the biggest hee-haw.
All right.
Try to say John Bones Jones 3 times fast.
John Bones Jones, John Bones Jones, John Bones Jones.
That wasn't fast. John Bones Jones, John Bones Jones, John Bones Jones.
You did it.
Do it, Envy.
Bonchon chicken, Bonchon okay. chicken, Bonchon chicken.
Drop one of Clues Bob for Bonchon chicken.
Double fried Korean wings.
Woo. This beige Negro been talking about Bonchon chicken all week long.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, thank you for that.
That's why I kept saying Bond. Because Steve, our cameraman, is white. He keeps saying John Bon Jovi. And we keep talking about Bon Chon Chicken. And I can't say John Bones Jones.
It's getting racial in here.
There's too much Bonds going on in this room.
My goodness. All right. Well, up next is Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Ye, call her right now. She'll help you out with all your problems if you're having situations in your life.
We had some crazy ones on the gram, by the way, right now. I saw the Shade Room posted one of them.
Oh, my goodness. 800-585-1051. Call ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Hannah.
Hey, Hannah. What's your question for you?
Okay, so I'm new at my job, and there's this one guy who I sort of started hanging out with, and it turned into, like, a little bit of a fling. We haven't, like, totally hooked up, if you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
But there's, like, this other guy who I'm more interested in, who I hung out with last night. Nothing happened. But I'm trying to, like, hang out with him, but I don't want to look like I'm hopping guys because I just got this new job. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, Hannah, what kind of job is this? Do you guys, like, have
Perfect.
To... Is what?
Serving.
A couple of things here. Number one, I will say that keep your business. So you shouldn't be talking to anybody at your job about what you have going on outside of there. So don't gossip. Don't talk about these guys. Don't do anything at work on the premises. When you're at work, always keep it strictly professional. When you leave, what you do in your private life is different. Secondly, Make sure that you are open and honest with this other guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you like him better and you don't want to deal with the other guy anymore, then I think you should make sure you don't deal with the first guy that you slept with. Just cut him off and take your time with the second guy. Don't jump right into it. You said you hung out with him last night. You don't have to sleep with him right away. How about you build a friendship? Because that's somebody you're going to have to see all the time at work. So while you are building that friendship to see if you really want to take it a step further, because once you do, it could be awkward in the workplace and you don't want to do that. You got to think about yourself and your job. While you cut off that other guy, then you can concentrate and focus on seeing if that friendship could turn into something more. But worry about being friends before you jump into the bed.
Yeah, the worst part is just cutting the first guy off, you know?
Is it a situation where y'all are kind of like seeing each other, or was it just a one time, couple times?
We haven't even actually slept together yet. We just kind of like...
Oh, girl, yeah. That's nothing. And you don't have anything to worry about. You hung out. You're dating. You're single, right?
Yeah, I'm single.
You're single. They're single. Who cares? Like, you shouldn't worry about what other people think. But I will say, because it's a job situation, just make sure you move right. You don't put your business out there. You don't gossip at work. You don't do anything on the work premises. And you don't want these guys to have a problem with each other because of you. So just make sure you clean cut off the other person. Y'all can still be cool. And don't jump into anything because it's work.
Yeah. Thank you, Missy.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Glad I finally got a hold of y'all.
All right.
Good luck, mama.
Have a good one.
You too now. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call Yee now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name, bro?
Yeah, it's Otis at Blythewood, Columbia area.
Hey, Otis. What's your question, Otis? For Yee?
How you doing? I got a quick question. All right, so my girlfriend, we've been talking for maybe about 3-4 years on and off. Like, at first, it was kind of like a light situation.
Uh-huh.
But now that we're getting more serious, the realization that her father is a racist is kind of hitting her harder, because that, like, she feels like if we continue this and we take it to the next level, then that's going to cut all communications off with her father.
So he's threatening basically to disown her if you date her.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, that's her father's problem, you know, and... What does she feel about this? Is she thinking that she wants to break up with you because of it?
I mean, I feel like when she, like, she went out to eat with her dad last night, and I feel like when she came back home, that was really like...
She was a different person.
She was upset.
Yeah, she was very upset. She was crying. She was just like, I don't know, because I don't want to lose you, and I don't want to lose my dad.
It's terrible that her father would put her in a position like that, because you can't help who you love.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know how to console her, or, you know, I don't know how to help at all.
You know, all you can do is keep being a good man that you are being to her. And ultimately, the decision is hers. But if her father decides to cut her off or disown her, just imagine what a loss that would be to him, all because he doesn't like who his daughter is dating. Like, the best thing that could happen, that could come from all of this, is her father will have to get over his hatred and maybe learn something. But the worst that could happen is that she just won't be able to either be with you, or she won't be able to... What about the rest of her family, just besides her dad?
Like I said, her mom loves me.
Okay.
I just got a new job. I'm making decent money now. So it's like, I feel like, I mean, I guess she never really even told him about me. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't even know she's dating a black man.
No.
Listen.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, because that's all she's really dated in her dating career. But I'm pretty sure he has an idea.
Right.
Well, and so I feel like if she just tells him, like, I mean, I don't think he's just going to cut her off.
Right. He probably, you know, she's nervous, she's scared, but at the end of the day, she can't feed into his racism. I think it's great that even though he acts that way, she's not that way, but you just have to be supportive of her because she's in a difficult situation. And I know
that's what made me think, though. Like, okay, so, yeah, I know you're not racist, but if you're going to, I don't know, I feel like Charlamagne always say, like, white privilege, you know what I'm saying? Use that to combat racism. Don't, yep. Like, just sit there and be quiet about it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you want her to stand up.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, when she came home last night and I realized that's probably not going to happen, it made me kind of look at her different. So now I'm feeling some type of way.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, listen, you do have to understand that she's in a difficult position, but you should tell her. You should say, I do feel a way that I sympathize with the fact that your dad is racist and I don't feel like you are, but I also feel like it's time for you to be an adult and stand up to your father, because we have a lot of things happening in this country right now, and this dialogue is important, but that's on him. That's his problem.
I guess that's my same thing, because my mom, she hates that I'm talking to a white girl. She hates that. Lord. My mom is the pro-black, hey, go get you a sister.
Right.
But, I mean, I can't help who I like, and I straight up told her, like, you're going to have to accept it until, I mean, for as long as this lasts. Right. And she was like, that's fine. I mean, like, I don't like it, but you know what I'm saying? She still understood, so I feel like her dad would do the same thing.
All right, well, tell her that.
I told her that. She don't. She just sits there quiet.
Right.
It pisses me off further, because it's like, how you just going to be quiet about the whole situation? Everything, like you just said, everything going on right now, this is the time for you to stand up and be like, Dad, that just ain't right.
Yeah, it sounds like it's an unresolvable issue until she finally decides that she has to take a stand for herself. And if she can't do that, then that doesn't seem like that's somebody that you could actually be with.
I know, and that's kind of the realization I'm coming to. And I mean, it's kind of hurtful.
Because she's going to have to do that if you guys are going to raise kids, you guys will have kids together.
And that's what
I keep
trying to tell her, like, how are you supposed to bring these little Africans to the house? And
would you call
your
them?
Daddy, Africans.
Africans.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but you have a great point. She's got to learn how to do all of that, because it's not an easy world out there, and she's got to be tougher about it. So
this is just something that she's going to have to get over, or else it's just not going to work, right?
Not even just get over. And, you know, it might be hard for her, too. That's her dad. So you should understand, too, when you speak to her, that it's difficult, but you should also have to let her know that a lot of things in life that we have to do aren't going to be easy, but we have to do them if we believe in it.
You're right.
All right, good luck, man. Please make sure you check back in with me and let me know how it goes.
All right, I appreciate it.
Good luck. Ask
Hey, man. Hey, I love listening to y'all every morning. I got y'all on my phone, man. I listen to y'all religiously.
Thank you, bro.
We appreciate you, Otis.
No problem. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call at any time. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, we are going to give you an update on what's going on with R. Kelly and the alleged victim who was speaking out about her time with him when she was underage.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it.
Club.
So listen up.
Envy, I feel compelled to say it's Black Girls Rock, not Black Girl Rocks. Envy.
I said Black Girls Rock.
All right.
Oh. He got the words right.
Yeah.
He said
that's
Black Girl Rocks.
That was just an S. Just move
he changed
around.
It to a drug interaction.
It's one girl. It's one girl as opposed to plural.
There you go.
Multiple girls.
Yeah. All right. And let's discuss Black Girls Rock, because that was on last night. You know, I was at home watching. Shout out to DJ Beverly Bond. So some phenomenal speeches went down last night at the awards. And Yara Shahidi was one person who was honored. And I always love what she has to say. Here is Yara Shahidi. You know her from Black.
For many people, the definition of identity is based on who we are not, who we don't want to be perceived like. I mean, white taught me what black was not. Male taught me what female was not. Straight taught me what gay was not. Sad taught me what happy was not. Our charge is not to live within this negative space of who we are not to be. Who are we not to be, after all? It takes a concerted, conscious, and collective effort to feel safe enough to take our time to discover who we are. And our community of smart, powerful, insightful, fierce black girls is a community that exists without definition and therefore without restriction.
I wanted my 9-year-old daughter to see that speech last night, but she wasn't home yet. But I did.
Where was she?
She was she was at practice for one of them things she does. About 10 different things she does. But, you know, I did let her watch Maxine Waters' speech.
All right. Well, we do have Maxine Waters' speech as well. Here is Maxine Waters from Black Girls Rock. She was honored as well.
I'm extremely grateful for the recognition that I'm receiving this evening. But I want you to know, if it was not for the love and respect shown to me by black women, those right-wing, ultra-conservative, alt-right haters in this country, they would have me believe I'm too black, I'm too confrontational, I'm too tough, and I'm too disrespectful of them. But now I know I'm simply a strong black woman.
Dropping the clues bomb for Queen Maxine.
Yeah.
It was a great representation of black women on that stage last night. And we do have to salute BET. BET really popping right now. They got some quality programming on that network.
And this is the 11th mm-hmm. year for Black Girls Rock, by the way. All right. And Solange also spoke, and I really was motivated. I always love when Solange speaks. I think even when you hear her song, A Seat at the Table, she says such great things that are really inspiring and very relevant to what's going on today. Here's Solange.
Women make me feel invincible. It's the way that we walk, the way that we talk, our soul, our sway, our grace, our roots. It's our secret language with one another, the way we uplift each other at our best and our worst. When I was a young girl, I was searching and searching and searching for a language to articulate who I was and what I felt like inside. And I want to tell the young Black girls who might be watching this out here that I'm still searching and I don't always have it figured out. And there are days that I feel very insecure and I feel like I failed. There are days that I feel so goddamn weird and alone, but I get up and I want you to know that you can and you will too.
Drop on the clues bomb for Solange.
There you go.
That's the thing, though. You never really do figure it out. Like, I always say, you got to give people the credit they deserve for being stupid, including yourself. Like, the know-it-all knows nothing. It's a constant learning process, this thing called life is.
I think it's so important when people like Solange get up and talk about her insecurities and talk about how difficult it is when we have our own difficult times. Know that everyone goes through it, no matter how perfect their life might seem.
Yeah, you figure some things out, but it's, you constantly, if you're constantly learning something new and going through new things, it's a constant challenge of just figuring different things out.
All right, now here's an interview with the girl that R. Kelly was allegedly paying $5,000 a month to stay quiet about the sexual relationship she had with him when she was starting at 15 years old. Now, this is on Famulous's website, famulous.com, and she has now come forward and is giving her account of things. Even though they had a non-disclosure agreement, there was a settlement, she said she doesn't care. She wants to tell her story and hopefully help these other women who people feel are brainwashed. Here is Jerhanda.
I was a victim of sexual abuse, mental abuse, and physical abuse, all at the hands of R. Kelly. He's a great mind manipulator. He believed in manipulating your mind and telling you that he's the only one that can save you and that your family is all out against you. He wants you to himself. I really thought that he was the only one that could help me and save me, but I didn't know what he was saving me from. I was very naive. It was like his music that pretty much like sucked me in.
Ask that question when a man says that to you. I want to save you. Save me from what?
Well, you know, she was only 15, so, and, you know, some people might feel like, well, she should know better, she was 15, but she talks about being 16 and how she felt.
I started thinking, like, I have something that he wants. What do I have that he wants? I have to have something that stands out opposed to all the other women in the world. And it was my age. And he did tell me that he liked his women young so that he can train them. You just think, this person picked me. If I don't, you know, abide by this person's rules, he can easily replace me. I need to do what he wants me to do, especially if I want to stick around. Like, this is a celebrity. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And at 16 years old, you're not mentally prepared. You're still a kid.
I don't want to train no woman. Dogs get trained.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell a woman to sit.
And last but not least, she also speaks about what happened when he got physically abusive toward her.
He was very controlling. If I wanted to eat, I had to get his permission. I wanted to shower, I had to get his permission.
That's crazy.
I wanted to go to the freaking bathroom. If the bathroom wasn't in the room that I was in, I had to call and ask. But when I was ready to leave and go home, what do you need to go home for? You're not going home. Like, I had to come up with so many lies.
That's
and
crazy.
He checked those. He did a fact check. Like, if he knew I was lying, I'll get slapped. And one time I was actually choked by him. He choked me up against the wall. He slapped my face and he spit in my face.
How come nobody whooped R. Kelly's ass yet?
Dude, I don't even know why y'all even entertain R. Kelly. I don't know why R. Kelly still gets people to come to his shows. I don't want to know why R. Kelly still is signing the record labels. I don't understand why R. Kelly still has a career period.
Well, she doesn't understand either. So that's part of why she wants to come forward. Even though she has an NDA, even though he could sue her, she feels like he's been sliding for way too long and getting away with it because he hasn't been convicted.
My whatever goodness. R. Kelly got, he need to give Bill Cosby some. Because this man had a videotape that we all watched. We watched him sleep with an underage girl, and he still got off.
That's crazy.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
So yes. R. Kelly tells these girls, look, people in this world wouldn't pee on you if I was on fire, but I will. Nobody will ever love you like I will. I do.
These poor
and they
young.
Probably fall for that.
I don't know, but his ass needs to get whooped.
I'm so tired.
Are you playing R. Kelly in the background?
That's the problem.
It's that, see, that, now, that's the problem
that, yeah,
right
that's
here.
Step in the name of love. Y'all, you forget everything that R. Kelly's ever done as soon as you hear any type of step in the name of love.
Oh,
and it's a remix to Ignition and Trapped in the Closet.
Scott puts on R. Kelly.
All right.
Sky.
All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Thank you for those rumors.
No problem.
We'll see you tomorrow.